Amen.
Good evening. Nice to see everybody tonight. It's nice to see you, man. Ah, it's nice to see you, Adam.
Word of my hope.
I'll give you one.
He's been inspired. Last night, we had somewhat of a blooper or a fail. I said, anybody under 30? And nobody stood up. Let's try that one more time. Is anybody here under 35? Please stand up. Come on, guys. I see four guys over there. All right. Nathan, you're under 35. Stand up, buddy. All right. State the year. No, never mind. All right, everybody standing up, why don't you grab one of these red books? And why don't you make your way on up towards me? You come stand over here. We got some super duper special music now. All right. Open your books to page number 397. 397. Hey, Magda. What? You're not 35? Oh, man. I'm sorry. 397. Not bad for not having practice. All right. Open your Bibles, please, to John chapter 21. And we'll begin reading with verse 15. John chapter 21 and starting at verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Now just a very quick comment. You understand why he's grieved, right? You don't like being asked the same question over and over and over, especially whenever it's the Lord. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had thus spoken, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth his disciple, whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Just on a personal note, this has been my motto for the last probably 10 years. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. It's a good motto. And just right quick, there's a lot of things I don't understand about this portion of scripture. I don't know if he's saying, lovest thou me more than these. I'm not quite sure if he's saying, Peter, do you love me more than John loves me? I'm not sure if that's what he's saying. Or if he's saying, Peter, do you love me more than you love John? I'm not quite sure. Either way, it's a valid question. It's a matter of loving Christ. That's the object, right? Do you love me either way? Do you love me more than John loves me? Do you love me more than you love your brethren? It's a valid question. And he says, what is that to me? Follow thou, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. It's a principle that I take, that Magda and I both use in raising our children. We have four children. Often there are fights. Ah! Mommy, he hit me! Mommy, she pushed me! And anybody who has children knows that as soon as the children are called, okay, tell me what happened. We know that we are the children of Adam. How do we know it? Because she did this. He did that. And so we have a very simple principle, a very simple rule in our house. And if you're young parents and you have young children, this is very, I think, if you don't mind me saying, this is good advice. So your child, whenever our child comes and I say, okay, what happened? No. Stop. Don't say anything else. What did you do? Yeah, well, Daddy, I did this because... No. I don't want to know what he did, what she did. What did you do? Well, I punched him. Oh, okay, you punched him. What did Daddy say about punching? Well, no punch. But Daddy... Okay. So, you punched him, and what did Daddy say? No punching. Okay. It doesn't matter what somebody else did. It doesn't matter what somebody else does. What did I tell you to do? What I tell you to do, little child, trumps anything bad that your brother or your sister or your friend might do. It's more important that you obey my voice than you get vengeance or you get what you understand as justice. So absolutely, there's no reason that the child should come to me and say, well, you know what, I did wrong because I was wronged. If we could learn, if we could teach our children this principle very, very young, we might avoid a lot of problems for them whenever they grow up. Another thing that I think that's good advice. Another thing that I'm not sure about this verse is a lot of commentators seem to be uncertain about it. Peter's reaction. Lord, what about him? Is he saying, well, Lord, it's not fair. What is he gonna do? As if he's complaining and whining to the Lord, like, well, that's not fair that I have to wash the dishes. How come she, is that what he's saying? Or is he really concerned about a brother? Follow me. Okay, yes, Lord, I will follow. But what about my brother? Is it concern or is it complaint? Honestly, I don't know. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't change Christ's response. Wait, right? He still says, don't worry about it. Follow me. I want to talk to you on this topic. Follow me. I don't know if you realize it's the last thing that Christ ever told Peter. He spoke to the church, but the last thing that he had in conference with Christ was me. Do you realize the first words that Peter heard from Jesus Christ were, follow me. The last words that Jesus told Peter were, follow me. You might get the impression that Christ is interested in you following him.
Amen.
You might get the impression about that. And all through the Gospels, we see this principle, this idea, this command over and over and over again repeated. Because even after Peter had begun to follow Christ, and he started to understand that he was a whole lot more precious than he had at first thought or believed, Christ says, will you go away? Are you going to turn back? John chapter 6, will you also go away? And Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. He understood the reason and the purpose for following Christ. Peter, so overconsumed with this thought of following Christ, and he understood it so well, that whenever Jesus told him, you know what, guys, I'm going away, and where I'm going, you can't follow me now. He was overwhelmed, and he says, in John 13, he says, but Lord, where are you going that I can't follow you now? Why, Lord, you've told me, follow me, over and over and over. Now you're telling me I can't follow you? Why not? If you turn very quickly to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 21. Peter is recounting his experience and he says, for even here too, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should, again here, follow his steps. See, Peter understood exactly what Christ had called him to do. There is no question about it. There is no doubting what God wants from his children. And Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and what do they do? My sheep follow. Christ's sheep are known with what spouse is following.
Amen.
There's a lot of heartbreak. I know of a sister and a dear friend of mine whose spouse quit following Christ. Give up following Christ. Together. He doesn't exist. He doesn't live. He's just a fiction of your imagination. Christ says, follow me. What is that to thee?
That's right.
A concern about this. You who are much older than I and have grown children, the children were raised in the nourishment and admonition of the Lord, have gone astray. Obvious concern. There's obvious fear. I've said it over and over again, and I'll say it probably till the day that I die. If at the end of my life my children are not walking truth or not following the Lord, I will have counted my life a waste and a failure. There is no greater joy that your children walk in truth. And if I cannot persuade my children through my example, through my faith, and through the grace in me, that they should follow Christ, what of telling other people? So I understand the idea and the concern and the fear of knowing that your children have strayed. But you know what Christ said? It's not your business if your children depart. Now that's a tough pill to swallow. What is that to thee? It's not your business. It's like, Father, Dad, what about? No. If I'll forsake thee, yet I will. If you have your eye on your spouse, on your friend, on your church, on your city, turn away. That's the Bible looking at Jesus, Amen. The author and finisher of our faith. Our goal, our calling is to be followers of Jesus Christ, regardless of who goes, who goes away. Amen. Follow thou me. There are some vigilant and very, very erect. Faithfully is not something that can be, that in a whims moment by anybody at any time. Sure, let's make a decision. Where are we going to go eat tonight? Let's go to Whataburger. What are we, Christ? It doesn't happen that way. Amen. It does not happen in your life. The Bible says that, telling the story of Daniel, when he was carried away prisoner into a far land, into Babylon, that great whorish city and whorish kingdom, devils and demons set up by King Nebuchadnezzar, before anything else developed in that still, purposed in his heart not to be defiled by the king's meat. Certain prerequisites to following Christ. I want to point out three of them tonight. First and foremost, if you are to follow Christ as commanded, your will must be subjected to Christ's will. Please open your Bibles to Amos chapter 3. Hold on. Okay, last one's a rotten egg. Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. He said, can two... they be agreed. Now, it's easy for the preacher, for the pastor, or the elder to stand and answer that question for you. It's easy for the world to do. Is that you have to answer this question for yourself. Is it possible for two people to be agreed? And make no doubt about it, Christ is commanding you to follow you, to follow Him, to walk together with Him. Way that you will be able to follow and to obey this command is if you are of Christ. Amen. There is no other way. Because down this pathway, and Christ's way is righteousness, it's holiness, it's fear of the Lord, it's in worshiping Him, and you will not always want to go down that road. Christ's way is suffering in order to please God, to glorify God. Your flesh does not want to go down that road. And until you come to a point in your life, until you've purposed in your heart that your will be submitted to Christ's will, you will not be able to follow Christ. Therefore, you will disobey Christ's first and last commandment. Follow thou me. You remember the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Why can't it say, my will be done? It's a valid question. Why can't I pray? Why didn't Christ admonish me to pray for my will? You see, until you come to a point in your life, in your marriage, in your work life, in your walk with the Lord, that you pray for God's will, how can you walk with Him? And notice also that He says, thy will be done where? In earth, as it is in heaven. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. All of the angels are worshiping Him in heaven. Praise the Lord. Everything He says is final in heaven. Praise the Lord. Yes, Lord, you can have your will in heaven, but this is life. You know, we have to bend the rules sometimes. You know, you don't understand all of the injustice that goes on in this world. And if we're not strong, if we're not tempered well, then people are going to take advantage of us. So Lord, we can't do it your way. He says, come unto me. Learn of me that I am meek. He says, my yoke, it's light. My burden, it's not heavy. He's not looking out for himself, for his own justice, for his own freedom. And my God, he never said, my rights. Never. I have a right. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You remember the story of Paul. Saul on his way to Tarsus, of course. There he is. Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who art thou, Lord? Who are you? I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. Paul says, what wilt thou have me do? Amen. What do you want me to do? Not, Lord, let me finish this one errand that I'm on, and then I'm yours. You can see the obvious conflict there. What wilt thou have me to do? Has there ever been a moment in your life, in your personal life, where you've consciously and purposed in your heart to submit your will to God's will, to Jesus Christ's will? If not, let's try our own hearts. How? How can we possibly expect to be followers of Jesus Christ? I am not talking about going to church. I am not talking about praying and reading God's word. I'm talking about being, in every sense of the word, a true follower of Jesus Christ. When people see you, when people hear you, they take notice that you've been with Christ because your language betrays you. You know that I haven't been in Texas for a very long time. Well, let me scratch that. You know that I haven't been in the States for a very long time, right? Why not? My language betrays me. Have you been with Christ so long? Have you been following Him that you began to imitate Him? That you began to impersonate Him? You know what people said, have told me here since I've been here? Man, Corey, you sure have been around Steve a lot. Yeah. Woohoo! Sure have. Absolutely. I spend a lot of time with Steve. I spend most of my time with Steve. He rubs off on me. I hope in a good way. I hope in a good way. Amen. Have you been following, have you been walking with Christ so long that people just looking at you and listening to you say, wow, that man, that woman has been with Christ? It won't happen. It will not happen. It cannot happen until you first submit your will and learn how to pray as Christ did. Not my will, but thine be done. Because your natural will is absolutely contrary to the will of Christ. Absolutely. Your will, first and foremost, must be submitted to the will of Christ. Secondly, open your Bibles to Luke. Luke in chapter 18. Look at verse 39. And they which went before rebuked... No, we have to back it up a little bit. Let's start at verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat in the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, and that he should hold his peace. But he cried, so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I do, that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight. And immediately he received his sight and followed him. You cannot possibly expect to follow Christ if your eyes have not been enlightened by the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. There's absolutely no way that you will follow Christ unless you've been delivered from the chains of darkness, unless you've been delivered from the devil by the glorious gospel, the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How is it possible that you will give your life, that you'll submit your will to somebody that you don't understand, that you don't see, that you can't comprehend? Will you be blind followers of the blind? That's what religion does. A Jehovah's Witness stands in our streets in Łódź every day of the year, and he stands there with his little cart, with his brochures and his magazines, offering people to come follow him. But they're blind. Ask him, are you saved? I hope so. I don't know. Only Jehovah knows. Same type of religious person, Catholic, Roman Catholic, says, go to church, pray to Mary. Will that save me? I hope so. It might. After you spend a million years in purgatory, you just might make it in. How can I possibly follow somebody when I am blind? Won't I trip and fall into the ditch? Why would I follow somebody who I haven't seen? Now you say, well, you haven't seen Christ. No, you're right, I haven't. But you're also wrong. Yes, I have. The eyes of my understanding have been opened. Amen. By faith in Jesus Christ. If your eyes have not been opened by faith in Jesus Christ, you cannot be a follower of him.
Amen.
He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. He's not talking to people out in the street. He's not talking about people in the world. He's talking to people who are in a local assembly just like we are here today. And he's pointing at them and he's writing to them and he says, prove your own selves whether or not you be in the faith. Have you followed Christ? Are you following Christ? If not, is the reason that you're not following him because your eyes of understanding have not been opened yet? Are you still in darkness? Are your chains still tight and fixed? Unless you've been born again, been granted grace by God to be able to see, you will never follow Christ. We must examine ourselves. Ah, what's the problem in the church? Ah, why are so many people gone? Ah, why is it so cold? Oh, why is it so dead? Why is the singing not the same? What about them? Don't worry about them. Don't worry about other people singing. Don't concern yourself with the faithfulness or the lack of faithfulness of your spouse, of your child. Don't concern yourself with the faithfulness or lack thereof of your children, of your friends, who you grew up with. concern yourself with examining your own heart.
Amen.
Have you been led to see? Because the man that does, the man that has been touched by Jesus Christ, stands up, and without instruction, what does he do? He follows Christ. The whole world was against him. Shut up! Be quiet! Stop yelling! Stop making such a ruckus! Don't do that! Don't you know that he's busy? Lord, that I might see. As soon as you see Jesus Christ, Lord, to whom shall we go? Looking unto Jesus. How can you look if you're blind? You understand what I'm saying? You understand my point, right? You have to be able to see in order to follow. And thirdly, your affections must be stirred. Jesus Christ, he said, Peter, lovest thou me? Yeah. Okay. Peter, lovest thou me? Yeah. Peter, do you love me? And now he's grieved. Now he's emotionally invested in it. If your love towards Christ is dry and emotionless, is that a word? Okay, emotionless. How can you possibly expect to follow Christ? Husbands, do you love your wives without emotion? Wives, do you love your husbands without emotion? Emotion is not the deciding factor, is not the reason that you follow or that you love, but it sure does play a part in it.
Amen.
Have you ever sung happy birthday to anybody? Have you ever gone up to somebody and said, it's nice to see you? Oh, you wanted a hug. It's nice to see you.
How you doing?
Come on. We understand. If you're not emotionally invested in it, why follow? We talked about the Spurs. You know what it means to be a follower of the Spurs. You invest your heart. Right, Irma? Oh, yeah, don't pretend now. I set you up. I was asking you before the meeting. I got you. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
You must be emotionally invested in Christ.
Amen.
You have to be. Now, we sing a song here very often, and I love singing it. Psalms 100. Make a noise unto the Lord. Is that how it goes? I'm sorry? No. It can't be a joyful noise because joyful is an emotion. And we don't serve God with emotion. Maybe you don't. But I do.
Amen.
I will.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm a millennial, because I'm born in the 21st century. No, I wasn't. In the 20th century. Because I don't have any root in Christ because I'm so shallow. No.
Amen.
The reason I do is because I'm reading God's word and it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness.
Amen.
Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pastures. Enter his gates with
thanksgiving.
Thank you, Billy. Oh, come on. Come on. I think one of the most serious problems in our church, I see it, I've seen it in my own life, is that we teach our children and we teach our brothers and we teach everybody to serve the Lord. Well, great. That's very, very important. We teach our children to fear the Lord. Yes, yes. We teach our children to seek the Lord. That's great. That's amazing. That's all necessary. But there's something missing. When was the last time that you taught your child to enjoy the Lord? Enjoy the Lord. I do not understand this concept, this idea of dragging your children to church. If you're running out of Sodom and Gomorrah, okay, drag them out. That's right. But why is it that we're running to church, to God, to Him that loved us with His whole heart, and now we're dragging Him because... maybe because you're dragging yourself. Maybe that's the reason. Serve the Lord with gladness.
Amen.
Your heart, your love must be emotionally invested. There was the example of the two debtors. One of them owed 500 pence. The other owed 50. The Bible says that when neither of them had anything to pay, the creditor, I love how it says it, frankly forgave them. Oh man, that's lovely. Frankly forgave them. Why? Because he could cover the cost. Because he could pay the debt for him. Because it was his to frankly cover. And there was the following question. Which of them, how does it go? Will love him the most. Where is this fervent love that you have for Christ that forgave you
Amen.
All of your debt?
Amen.
Where is that love of yours that for Him that frankly washed away your sins in His own blood? Where is that love? Why would you follow Him if you don't love Him? Is it possible? Would you stay in a marriage with somebody who you don't love? I know that you should, but I know that 50% of people don't. It's just our human nature. You will not be a follower of Christ until you've learned to love Him. You have every reason in the world to love Him. My goodness, amazing grace. Amazing grace. One more reason. First of all, your will has to be subjected to His will. Your eyes must be opened. Your love must be stirred. Your priorities must be considered. Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Everybody there? In verse 24. Yeah, I'm in the bad habit of waiting forever for people to open their Bibles. Because in Łódź, we're still learning. We're still learning the books of the Bible. So, okay, open your Bibles to Matthew. Where's Matthew at? You know. All right, so Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. You have to consider your priorities. You have to give this serious thought. Because, and I know that in this church, we preach the full gospel. We don't leave anything out. Serving and following Christ is not easy. It's not a decision that you make lightheartedly. You have to consider the cost. You have to consider the price. Because Jesus Christ is no American military recruiter. I've seen the commercials. Come be all that you can be. War, we would understand, according to the recruiters, is a beautiful thing. Because you can display your manliness. You can display just how great and how brave you are. And you can have fun doing it. I've never seen a recruiting commercial showing a dead child in its blood. I've never seen a wounded vet without arms, blinded, coming home and saying, be all you can be. Never seen that. Why? Because they're liars. They're liars. I'm not attacking the military. I'm attacking and I'm criticizing their method. Christ is not lying to you. He's not deceiving you. He's not telling you, come on, it'll be fun. It'll be wonderful. We'll have a great time. You know, I'll pay for your college. Want a free education? I'll cover it. Just come join me a couple years. If you want to follow Christ, you have to consider this. You have to deny yourself.
Amen.
You have to carry your cross. Now, the Catholics would have you believe that this means that you have to suffer. They're almost right. But almost makes a huge difference. We talked about that last night. Christ says, if you follow Him, you must die. The cross is no symbol of suffering. It's a symbol of death.
Amen.
People did not suffer on the cross. They died on the cross. So if you want to be a follower of Christ, you must die to yourself in order that you might live for Christ. Whenever He says, come on, follow me. And you say, oh, but my dreams. Oh, my passions. Oh, that dream job I've always wanted to have. Die for yourself. When Christ says that you must become fools before the eyes of men. Oh, my reputation. Oh, my pride. Oh, what will they say? Christ was hanging on the cross of Calvary naked. And He says, if you want to be my follower, you have to take your cross. You have to consider what your priorities are. Is the purpose of your life to bring you pleasure and bring you gladness and bring you joy? Or is the purpose of your life to bring God joy and gladness and glory? What is your priority? If you want to be revived, if you want a change in your life, you have to consider these points. You have to make a conscious decision that you will bend the knee to Jesus Christ because He is Lord.
Amen.
You have to be sure that your eyes have been opened and that you can see who it is exactly that you're following. You can't escape it. You can't get away it. You can't wiggle yourself out of it, away from it. Now, what does it mean? Just very quickly. What does it mean that we're going to follow Christ? Well, first of all, we're going to seek what He sought. Whenever you follow somebody, it means that you go behind him. In other words, he's leading you in a direction, and you're right going in that same direction. So what did Jesus come seeking? What did he look for? He says, I've come to seek and save that which was lost. Following Christ must mean for you that you tell other people who are lost, that they're lost. You cannot follow, be a follower of Christ and keep it to yourself. That doesn't happen. Christ did not come to make you a private follower of Him, of His. Christ loved certain people. Who did He love? Well, yes, He loved sinners, but specifically, concretely. He gave His life for the church. He loved the church. If you want to be a follower of Christ, you must learn to love the church as Christ loved His church.
Amen.
I am absolutely appalled at the way that we Christians talk about church, as if it was a timeout for us or some sort of a punishment. Oh, Dad, we have to go to church again. Christ loved the church so much. He loved the assembly so much, the local church as well, so much that He was willing to give His life for it. How did Christ treat His enemies? You know, when Christ was driving down 410 and that jerk swerved out in front of Him, did He cry out, "Go to hell"? You say, "Well, that's just the way that I am." That's your problem.
Amen.
That's your problem. You've been called to be transformed into the image of His dear Son.
Amen.
Now, you know what transgender is? You go from one to the other. A total change. Transformed means that you change from one form to another form.
Amen.
Yes, you are like that. But you're not supposed to be like that.
Amen.
You're supposed to be like that. Like Christ. That's what you were saved for. That's why God put His Spirit in your heart. That's why God regenerated you. That's why God created a new creature and didn't just patch you up. One more thing. Acts chapter 11. We'll wrap it up. There's a lot of singing today. Acts chapter 11. Verse 23, speaking of Barnabas, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. Like I said at the very beginning, this is not a decision that you make lightheartedly. This has to be a decision made by you with full purpose of heart. Now, will you follow Christ? Christ says, follow me. He doesn't ask you, are you interested in following me? He didn't ask you, do you feel like it? He didn't ask you, he didn't say, are you interested in it? He commanded, follow me. And if you neglect or if you reject, if you refuse, if you make light of that commandment, you are trespassing a direct command of your Lord. Yeah, but Lord, look, nobody else in the church. What is that to thee?
Amen.
Yeah, but Lord, my husband doesn't What is that to thee? Yeah, but Lord, the wife that thou hast given me. You chose her, you big idiot. What is that to thee? Like, I don't understand. Nobody's been forced into marriage. But we always say, the Lord gave me this wife or this husband. It doesn't make sense. Maybe in the 10th century, that would be a valid argument. But not now. What is that to thee? Jesus Christ individually is speaking to you tonight. Every day of your life. Follow thou me. Do that.